You know, it's been a busy week with VBS, with preparing for Oshkosh, preparing for this sermon. I don't know about you, but sometimes I ask the question, where did it all go? And that is talking about time. I'm so excited to report to you that VBS went well. We had almost 30 kids there. We had kids that had signed up to the Stampede Supper. Amen? People that came from the community and said, you know what, I want to bring my kids to what this church is doing. So thank you. We also had young people who visited the church during the evangelistic series in the spring for the young people. And they haven't left. They wanted to help, and they were leaders as well during VBS. So this church is just praise God for what the Holy Spirit is doing through you. Amen. Have you ever noticed how stubborn and uncooperative time can be? When you want it to zip by, it just simply drags on. When you want it to slow down, it's tomorrow already. 2 weeks vacation does not feel like 2 weeks on a diet plan where you're trying to eat better or different. Deadlines arrive so quickly, however, habits take so long to break. I know as a student sometimes you couldn't believe how long class felt or was going, constantly looking at the clock. As an adult, you feel like you need to book a lunch appointment into 2021 because of all the things that have to be done. I know our Pathfinders will be experiencing the gift of time on the bus for many, many, many hours. I pray that I know that they brought their Bibles with them, and I know they don't have anything to plug their phones into onto the bus, so they're hopefully going to get a chance to dig deeper into God's Word. You see, we're each given 86,400 seconds in a day. Can you imagine if you were deposited $86,400 in your bank account each day? However, you would have to make sure, if it's time, it would have to be used up by the end of the day. There's no overdraft, there's no bringing it over to the next day. We're each given 24 hours. Most people aim to get about 8 hours of sleep, work for about 8 hours. The average commute, I believe in Calgary, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is about 30 minutes one way, 30 minutes back, which is an hour. If you're taking an hour for meals, that leaves you with 4 hours left in your day for free time. What do we do with that time? You see, it is said that time is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. A study at the University of Michigan found mothers working outside the home spend an average of 11 minutes a day on weekdays and 30 minutes with their kids on weekends, not including mealtime. Fathers spend an average of 8 minutes a day on weekdays and 14 minutes on weekends with different activities with their children. That is just not enough time. Where did it all go? In order to find a remedy to this global issue, we have to look today at how God used time. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look and see how God had planned out the original days. Well, God, He allows light to come in. There's earth, time, and space. Day 2 is atmosphere. Day 3, dry land and plants. Day 4, sun, moon, and stars. Day 5, sea and the flying creatures. And also day 6, land, animals, and then humans. In verse 9 it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." What we see in Genesis 1 is that God has a plan for his creation. He separates the water. He separates the land. And then he fills it with something. Everything was in succession. Now notice this. God teaches us we should not do the most we can in a day, but rather do everything we have planned to do in that day. See, God could have easily snapped his fingers and had done everything in that certain day, but he chose to plan and fill. Do we do that with our time? Notice God was not huffing and puffing. He was not tired. But friends, I don't know about you at the end of the week. I know I can be. It's been said, he who plans to fail, plans to fail. If you don't make plans, I know somebody who probably will make plans for you. Whether it's a coworker, whether it's family, you can get tied up very quickly. Now, it's interesting, in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So not only did he plan his day, but then at the end of his day, he also evaluated it. I don't know about you, but you know, I do daily, monthly, weekly, yearly reports. And you want to be able to say at the end of each day, end of each week, end of each month, this was very good. But sometimes circumstances change our answer. Notice that God said it was good, and on the sixth day he said it was very good. This shows us the importance of taking some time to see with what I'm doing with my time, if I'm accomplishing the very things God has asked me to do. You see, sometimes we can get into pitfalls. We can find things that end up stealing time from us. You see, it's been said that time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage it. You can't delay it. You can't speed it up. You can't save it. You can't lose it. You can only lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward. The challenge is not to manage time, but to manage ourselves. They say time flies, but you are the pilot. Now, by a raise of hands here, I want to ask, does anyone here think that they're a good multitasker? Anyone here think that they can multitask? I don't see many male hands go up. Women, can you testify to that? Okay, a couple. All right. Well, I came across a study which was very, very interesting. You see, they took 20 individuals, male and female, and they asked them to do 4 simple tasks. They were to feed a baby, they were to warm a simple meal, they were to answer the door and deal with a phone call all at the same time. I wonder how they did. How would you do? Out of the participants, one was able to do it successfully. Now, what was so interesting about this is there was even one gentleman that he was holding the baby. The doorbell rang. He put the baby down. He stopped the microwave. He went and answered, got the package, and came back. I don't know about you, but I'm a very one-at-a-time kind of guy. You know, the Bible says not to be a double-minded man. That double-minded man will be unstable in all his ways. If I'm trying to do more than one thing at a time, I'm probably not as stable as I could be. If you can do it, great. If you can multitask, then I'm happy to see you at VBS next year when we're planning for that again. If those hands that came up, I made notes of that. I'll need you. We're going to be growing that. It's always better to under-promise and over-deliver. Many times we can start doing so many things but get really nothing done. We don't want to cram too much into this precious time that we have. The problem is oftentimes people see the talents in our lives and they say, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? And again, that's a good thing, but sometimes we have to learn to say no. You know, Jesus, even though he was perfect in all his ways and did not sin, there was times even Jesus had to say no to people. There was times where cities where people would ask him to come heal or come pray or do something with them. But he would say, I'm sorry, I need to go away for a while and connect to the source that will give me power. You see, sometimes we can neglect those things. One of the most dangerous things we can do is get in the habit of going through our day being religious, but not really being connected to the source. You see, a lot of people will say, I don't have time to read the Bible. Did you know that if you were to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at the speed of someone doing the scripture reading,
It would take 71 hours. Now, if you divide that into minutes and break it down into a year, that's 12 minutes a day, and you could read the whole Bible. Do you give God even 12 minutes a day? I hope so. I know I'll be driving about 50 hours total from here to Oshkosh and the next. I better come back fluent in Spanish or something when I come back. But there's a lot of time to be spending time listening and feeding on God's Word. It's been said by a Christian author, the secret to failure are people who are working for the other's good, their duties are pressing, their responsibilities are many, they allow labor to crowd out their devotion time with God. It's amazing when we try to look for examples in the Bible where people had power, people had great experiences, it simply just gets translated into spending time with God. Now, some people have heard of sinkhole syndrome. Has anyone here ever heard of the Aurora tree? I wish I had a picture on the screen. I should have done that. The Aurora tree is this good-looking tree that's kind of near the Dead Sea. Many people say it's in the area where Sodom and Gomorrah were. Now, what happens is people who are in the desert walk by this tree. Its leaves are big. There's this big, luscious fruit. However, when you open the fruit, it's full of these cobweb-like things. It makes a psst sound when you open it, and it's just hollow and dusty and dry. And so it's interesting because sometimes we can come to church, we can look like we're living the Christian walk, but we haven't made that time for Jesus. And inside, we're just cobwebs, and there's no life. If we neglect time with Jesus, this may be the fruit we produce. The one thing Jesus would never do is compromise time with his Father. Mark 1:31 tells us that Jesus would arise early, even before the day, after healing all day or even all night for the people, maybe even 2 or 3 hours of sleep, he made sure he had that time with Jesus. I found in my experience, reading the Bible, sometimes we feel like we have to get through a certain amount of chapters each day. We may feel like we have to, you know, study out a verse or, you know, go through a whole bunch of Bible. But I've heard and I've seen and I've experienced if you take two verses a day and you look at them, you memorize them, you chew on them, and you just milk those verses for all that they're worth, you may get more out of that than reading a whole chapter in a day. Whatever you're doing, just make that time for Christ. Another pitfall that we can get into are distractions. Now, I've never been to the horse races before, but I have seen them on TV, and there's something that they put on these horses so they don't just get distracted. What are those things called? Blinders, right? It's because they don't. If a little dog runs by or something like that, that horse isn't going to jump over and try to find it. As Christians, we definitely need blinders. You see, Satan is constantly working at trying to get God's people off the narrow path by distracting them in every which way. You see, it's not sufficient to be much occupied. The question is, what occupies us? Time squandered can never be recovered. We cannot call back even one moment. The only way in which we can redeem our time is by making the most of that which remains. Satan attacks our use of time. He puts things in our path that he knows may distract us. Something we can do. I know that when people are trying to lose weight, sometimes what dietitians will ask them to do, or nutritionists, they'll ask them to do a diet log, and they'll write down all the things that they're eating. And then at the end of the week, they can say, hey, I've been taking in this many calories, I've been maybe exercising this much. There's times where we need to maybe take a time log for our own selves and say, okay, how much time am I on this thing? How much time am I spending with God? How much time am I allowing other people to monopolize my time? We're called to be good stewards. If Jesus said no, you can say no too. How would you evaluate your last 24 hours? You see, corporate America, it's interesting, I came across this stat. When fantasy football came to North America a number of years ago, I remember that corporate America said they had lost $100 million, over hundreds of millions of dollars a year, just in lost time because people were looking up stats and watching football during work time. Lost hours because of distractions. Interesting. I know that another thing that I came across is there's a device now that you can buy where you can literally lock your phone into this box, and a significant other is the only person that has the password. And so if someone is having a tough time being on their phone late at night, which messes with their melatonin and really getting a good sleep, you can literally lock your phone in a box so that only your significant other can open it. Hope an emergency doesn't come when it's in there. The problem is not with time. It's not necessarily the lack of time. The problem is with our choices. God grants men the gift of time for the purpose of promoting His glory. When this time is used in selfish pleasure, the hours thus are spent lost for all of eternity. It's been said that time has no resurrection. A Christian writer writes, "Life is too solemn to be absorbed in temporal and earthly matters, in a treadmill of care and anxiety, of the things that are but an atom in comparison with the eternal interest. Yet God has called us to serve Him in the temporal affairs of life. Diligence in this work, as much a part of true religion, is as devotion. The Bible gives no endorsement to idleness. The greatest curse that afflicts our world, I'll say that again, the greatest curse that afflicts our world is when we don't use our time the way God has asked us to. Every man and woman is truly converted to be a diligent worker." Now, when we look at Jesus, we know that He was a master of time. You look at Jesus, He seemed to never, ever be in a rush. He had the time to look at the lilies and the flowers. He had time to spend time with children. He had time at church. You never notice a verse where Jesus is running and rushing. He planned His day so well because Jesus went to His Father each day to get the plan that He needed. You see, there's one thing that I never really quite understood when I came to the church. Luke 4:16 tells us that Jesus essentially went to the synagogue on Sabbath. But when I started going to church, I had no idea how to use this precious gift that God has given us. I remember the guy that took me to church, he wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. I wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. I was just learning about the Sabbath. All I knew is they went to church on a different day. And then when we left church, he's like, "All right, let's go for tacos at this restaurant." And I thought, hold on a second. Wait a second. I thought this day was a day where I'm supposed to have rest. And if I'm supposed to have rest, shouldn't I not make other people work as well? And so God has actually, in this day, designed that we not only rest, but allow other people to rest. If you're having lunch, don't meet them at the food court. Prepare something and have them at your home later. Jesus in Matthew 4:23, He spent that time visiting the sick. I tried this one time. I went to a hospital and a retirement home, and I went up to the front desk and I said, "Is there anybody here that hasn't had a visit in a while?" And you should see the person at the front desk. "Well, how much time do you have?" If you want to do ministry, you could just go up to any senior facility, maybe even hospital, and just spend time and just spend precious time with these people. If you don't know what to do on your Sabbath, God has a plethora of things you can be doing. In today's stressful world, the example of Jesus is refreshing as it is worth imitating. The Bible does not praise workaholics, nor does it give any commendations to those who take it way too easy. There's always a balance. The Gospels make it abundantly clear that He had time for His Father, for His friends, for relaxation, and for a good meal. This type of time management, or rather time stewardship, will prove a blessing for those who practice it. We're told that we're to guard jealously your hours for prayer and self-examination. Set some portion of time apart each day for studying the Scriptures and communion with God. Thus will you obtain spiritual strength and grow in grace and favor with God. You know, it's interesting. The question is asked, how much time did Jesus spend with His Father? As long as it took, was the answer. I know that sometimes when we're reading or we're spending time with Jesus, it might feel like there's nothing there. We're not getting anything back. But I would challenge you, don't stop until you hear back from Him. Oftentimes we treat God kind of like a drive-through. We drive up, we tell them what we need, and we pull up expecting maybe to get it. But sometimes we need to wait and wait for an answer with our Bibles open to see what he has planned for our day. I've found also that sometimes you can go to God with your plans in the day and think this is what I'm going to accomplish, and then you get a random text message or a phone call from somebody that you weren't expecting, and your plans will change. You must understand that your communion with him is preparing you to bless others, maybe for that day. And if you miss out on that, you and they would be missing out on a blessing. So Jesus also, the Bible also talks about in Hebrews 10:25 that on this day, this Sabbath, that we're to not neglect the assembling of our brethren. I know the mountains are nice and it's good to go from time to time, but we want to make sure that we're here in God's house. We need to spend time eating. We need to spend time in God's second book, nature. We need to be unplugging from the distractions of this world on this day. As I study the life of Jesus, I'm amazed just to see how he had time for some of the most insignificant people. You know, it's easy to be friendly, but it's not so easy sometimes to be a friend. Because friends take time, friends inconvenience, friends call late, friends call early, and sometimes it's difficult to take up that kind of commitment. But you see, I know I've worked with people, and I've seen people, and as maybe as inconvenient as it can be where you have other plans, every time you spend time with them, you are literally making a deposit in them for eternity. That doesn't mean that if someone's calling that you can't ever say no, but it's time sometimes we get out of our comfort zones and spend time with people who may not have anyone else. Christ regarded every moment as precious, and it is thus that we should regard it. Life is too short to be trifled away. We have but a few days of probation in which we are to prepare for eternity. We have no time to waste, no time to devote to selfish pleasure, no time for indulgence in sin. It is now that we are to form characters for the future, the immortal life. It is now that we are to prepare for the searching judgment. Now, I have this neighbor, and this neighbor goes to a different church. But this neighbor has inspired me. This neighbor just blew my socks off. As we were connecting one day, my friend, he speaks Spanish, and I was asking like what he was listening to in his ear, and he said that he was learning Russian because he had a burden to win somebody who was Russian to Jesus. So he was really willing to put hours and hours and hours of time for one soul. What a commitment. What a commitment. I just sat there and said, yeah, you've rebuked me, brother. Our time belongs to God. Every moment is his. Now listen to this. Of no talent that we've been given, I'm going to say this twice, of no talent he has given us, he will require a more strict account than our, is it money? It's our time. Of no talent he has given will he require a more strict account than for our time. The Bible uses another word instead of managing your time. It speaks of redeeming the time in Ephesians 5. It says, so then you see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This phrase simply means to constantly look for opportunities, to look for opportunities to share. There was a great football player named Emmett Smith, and he was well known at finding holes in the line. And so, essentially, he was able to, with his eyesight, he wasn't the fastest, he wasn't the strongest, but he was able to always look for the opportunity and exploit it. Friends, I know it's easy when there's a few moments. We can, you know, check our phones, we can check our social media, and in it of itself is not evil. But if your first reaction is to go to something worldly rather than spending time with Jesus, I think we need to give ourselves an audit. I think we need to take time and say, God, what idol am I allowing to be built on the altar of my heart? In conclusion, there are dilemmas, misconceptions, and pitfalls with time, but there's also a remedy. We must ask God to manage our time and follow the direction and examples given in Scripture. Asking God, what do you want me to focus on? What do you want me to give up? What is it? How is it that you want me to get this task done? God, if this is from you, I want this thing on my schedule. We must ask God to take this day and order it for us according to his will, that he will protect us and bring us across paths to those things and the people that we need to meet. May the time that you have this day and moving forward be used for his glory, and that you may marvel at the miracles that he's given you. Now, the small appeal I want to ask to this church today is that Sabbath doesn't end for another about 9 hours. I'm going to ask this church that you will do a time audit throughout your week and see, where are there some holes in the boat? Where am I losing time? Where is it that I am just not getting the things done that I want? Am I giving Jesus even 12 minutes? So, just by a raise of hands, I will ask, is anyone here willing to take some time this afternoon to just check their life, to check their schedule, to say, God, I want to see where there's holes in my life? Anyone do that? Amen. Well, I pray that God will bless you the rest of this Sabbath day, and continue to pray for our pathfinders as they travel.